It's just after midnight, and there's almost no one on the streets of Orleans. But at a strip mall, a group of J1 students are emerging from their shift at the local grocery store to catch a special late-night bus.
Everyone's here tonight.
It's a bus most of us won't ever ride, because it's a school bus contracted specifically to run from 10 at night to 2 in the morning for J1 visa students. Its purpose? To ferry these students from their late-night jobs back to their homes across Orleans, East Ham, and Brewster. Most of the students on this bus have worked two or more jobs today, and for them, this is much of their cultural experience.
Well, so far it's really good. The only thing is that we have to work a lot because I work in two jobs, so we don't have like time to hang out.
That's Robin Galva Santana, a student from the Dominican Republic. Today, he's worked from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Ocean Edge Resort as a groundskeeper, and from 5 to midnight at Stop and Shop. Galva Santana is just one of the many J1s who are working 14-plus hour days while here on the Cape for 3 to 4 months. Despite the emphasis on work, the federal government defines the J1 summer work travel program as a cultural exchange. Nathan Arnold, a spokesperson for the U.S. Department of State, explains why the program isn't overseen by the Labor Department.
So we strongly believe that this is a cultural exchange, and we believe that summer work travelers belong in the State Department. The participants are meant to have interaction with Americans so that they can improve their English. So the goals of our program are very different than a labor program.
Though Galva Santana is upbeat about his experience in the program, other J1s see it differently. Kalia Richards is a 22-year-old student from Jamaica working the closing shift at the Stop and Shop deli counter in Orleans.
I haven't done anything but work, and on my days off I sleep, and then I'm back at work again. So it's like a cycle.
She had imagined having weekends to travel to New York or Washington, D.C.
But it really hasn't been what I expected, because I at least expected to have some form of fun or something, but nah, not here.
Another big challenge for J1s in a tourist destination like the Cape is finding housing. Employers are not required to provide housing, and many J1s find it through Craigslist or volunteer organizations.
When they first arrive, they're a very easy target, especially if they come without housing.
That's Kathy Boyle. She and her husband, Matthew Boyle, are part of a volunteer organization on the Cape that puts on cultural events for J1 students and also helps students find housing.
We've had housing situations where there have been 11 students in a 3-bedroom house with 1 bathroom, a man keeping students in the attic, and the usual keeping the deposits even though there's no damage, threatening students, saying that they don't have the same rights as Americans.
Back on the late-night bus, Frank Cava, a 20-year-old student from the Dominican Republic, is returning home. For him, his lodging is just a place to sleep. His days are busy, starting with an early morning shift doing maintenance at the Sea Camp summer camp in Brewster and ending with a closing shift at Stop and Shop. He works at the Ocean Edge Resort on his days off.
Actually, I think that the rent here is kind of expensive. With one job, I think you aren't able to pay like the rent for a week.
But he hopes that soon his hard work will pay off. He plans to use the extra money he makes to travel the country in the 30 days grace period his visa allows before school begins again.
It's stressful, you know, your body feels really tired, but, you know, it's what we have to do to earn money.
Minutes later, he and others step off the bus onto a dark, empty road in Orleans.
Bye, have a good night.
And as quickly as the J1s emerged, they're gone again, disappearing into the wooded, misty night to ready themselves for their next jobs. For WCAI, I'm Sarah Tan.